today we're going to be tackling part two in our series, and it's probably the biggest thing we could ever try to accomplish today, and that's talking about God. Last week we looked at the scriptures being inspired. This week, week two, is the one true God. How many think we can say everything that needs to be said about God in half hour, 45 minutes? What do you think? Probably not. Probably not. I'm sure we can't, right? I'm sure we can't. But God has revealed himself through scripture in some fantastic ways. So I hope today, my desire is that you get a little bit hungry more for knowing who God is. This should be a journey that we're on our entire lives. So hopefully today your hunger's wet a little bit for that, for discovering the Lord as he reveals himself in scripture. We're going to open up our Bibles today to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verse 24. It says, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. So as we look at this scripture today, we see it kind of give an outline for who God is. Paul is sharing who God is to people who need to know him. And he says he's the creator, right? He's the creator. God doesn't live in temples. You don't have to drive somewhere to see God, right? He doesn't just live somewhere. He doesn't live at the shrine. He doesn't live in the Vatican. He doesn't live in Springfield, Missouri. He doesn't live in Dallas, Texas, for sure, right? He certainly wouldn't live there. God doesn't live in man-made temples. Human hands can't serve his needs. What kind of needs does God have? God doesn't have any needs, does he? We can't give anything to God that he actually needs from us. God created the world from one man. He is in charge of the world. It says, verse 27, his purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Interesting phrasing. God's purpose is to reach out to the world that they would know him. Why? Because God wants to bless us. He wants to fill us with his joy. He loves us and he wants to work in and through mankind. But oftentimes humanity wants to do their own thing and doesn't want God. That last phrase is awesome. Though he is not far from any of us. Today, as we talk about God, we're going to be listing some attributes of him, and I hope this is an encouragement to you today. The first thing we're looking at today is the fact that God exists. God exists. The Bible does not attempt to prove the existence of God. It just doesn't. Genesis begins with the fact that God exists. Anybody know Genesis 1:1 offhand? Anybody know Genesis 1:1? You should know Genesis 1:1. Anybody? Awesome. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, it just, the fourth word of the whole Bible is God. In the beginning, God was already there. So in the beginning, God didn't happen. In the beginning, God's already there. So God was there before the beginning. Because in the beginning, God was already creating. See, God is all eternal. He was there before. There wasn't a day where God was not. God was always in existence, no matter how far back you can go in time. Psalm 14:1, I quoted last week. Psalm 14:1 says, only fools say in their heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and their actions are evil. Not one of them does good. But only the fool says there is no God. See, the Bible doesn't try to prove the existence of God. The Bible says, you know that there's a God. You know that there's a God. Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. God exists, and he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Again, the Bible doesn't try to prove or encourage you to believe that there's a God. We know that there's a God. Deep in our heart, we realize that. I have a quote from a great book that if you want more information about this series as we go through it, you can get the book Bible Doctrines, A Pentecostal Perspective from Dr. Stanley Horton. It was a textbook when I was in school. It's a fantastic book. Here's a great quote. He says, "The scriptures affirm what is universally experienced by people everywhere, there is a God. To say there is no supreme being or to live that way is to deny what is intuitively known by all. We know that there has to be a God." How do we know? Because we have this appreciation for things of beauty that everybody around the world, they like things that look nice. Well, where do we get this desire to appreciate one flower more than a weed, right? The dandelions we run over and chop up in our lawn, but the other flowers we love. Well, why is that? Why do we kind of attribute more value to one thing than another? Because we're like God. We, in the sense that we were made in his image, and we think higher than the animals. Squirrels don't care about the flowers. Your dog will do whatever he wants to do on all the flowers, right? Doesn't discriminate, okay? In fact, he probably chooses the ones that you like best, because that's what dogs do. But when it comes to people, we have this thing where we love beauty and value. Well, that's because God created us, and we're kind of like him. God loves beauty, and God creates nature with beauty. Think of all the colors in the world. God is very creative, isn't he? God could have made everything gray. He chose to give everything color, beauty. That's why we kind of love art. When we love art and we paint and we do things like that, we're kind of a little bit showing the image of God within us. We love to create, right? We have this idea of morality. Some things are right and some things are wrong. And every culture around the world has this idea of morality that they vary a little bit from culture to culture. But the Bible says the Ten Commandments are written on our hearts. We know. We know. We know lying isn't good. We know stealing isn't good, right? You don't have to hear a sermon on that. You know, because there is a God who speaks to us, and we know. Even if we don't know his name, we have a sense of order in the world and how things should be, because we get that from God. Dr. Stanley Horton goes on and says, "The existence of God is so fundamental to human thinking that to abandon this conception is to embark upon a wild sea of irrationality that leaves us without meaning or purpose." It is true that when we try really hard to disprove the existence of God and pretend that God doesn't exist, we do so to our detriment. We aren't really better for it at all. When we begin to worship the creation rather than the creator, we find it hurts us. It's a bad thing. Let's talk about what God is like this morning. What is God like? The first thing we're going to see is God is self-revealing. We have a lot of scripture, but we're not going to have time to turn it to every scripture. But I can give these to you later. You can write down the reference, or you can turn, if you're really quick, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. If you have the YouVersion app, I think it's actually further down your page already. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. It talks about God revealing himself. Listen to this. It says, "God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because it has been made obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." So what is God like? He's self-revealing. If God didn't reveal himself, if he didn't tell us about him, we would have no idea what he was like. We can't reach God. We can't climb a ladder and see what God is like. In the Tower of Babel, the people tried to build a tower so they can climb up really high and they can be like God and be powerful. And God got rid of their plans and just foiled them. But no matter how high we go, we can't be like God. God's completely different than us. But we do see that there is a God. He has revealed himself, and we see that through nature. The human eye is the best camera lens by far, right? The new iPhone X that's coming out with a gazillion megapixels, right? Front and rear camera, facial recognition. The human eye is way more advanced than that. I love a good camera. My cell phone camera is awful. So I love a good camera that can focus quickly. We don't realize how awesome the eye is, that I can look at the floor and it's in focus, and I can look at the back wall and it's in focus, and wherever you go, it's perfect, right? It's perfect. What would you do if you had a fancy camera? It's hard. My cell phone, if I get it right, and then I press the take the picture button, it refocuses anyway and ignores what I got right and like goes blurry and then takes the picture. It's awful. I might need the iPhone something or other. I don't know. But the human eye is amazing. How about the way that our bodies heal? Now, it doesn't work as well when we get older. But anybody miss the days when you were young? And you would fall and you would almost bounce, right? 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 Where you could fall for miles and get up. You were fine. You had no fear. And I remember being 20-something youth pastor at Malaga. And we had steps that went into the social hall. You had to go up like 6 steps to go up into the social hall where we played basketball and stuff. And I was there with my buddy Drew. I always remember this. That I would never walk down those steps. There was like 5 steps. Would never walk down those 5 steps. I would jump them every time. It's only 5 steps. My buddy Drew, who was 10 years older than me, or so, he's like, enjoy it now, because there will come a day when you're just walking down those steps and you're not jumping. No, man, it's nothing. And I would jump, and now I'm a lot slower with those things, right? You heard my story at being with the water slide out here. And of course, I was braver than all of you because none of you went down the water slide, but I climbed up it. But as I looked over the water slide, it's steep. And actually, the thing that got me wasn't the fact it was steep, but then it came up the other side. And I just watched those little kids, 60 pounds, come down and go almost all the way up to the top and then come back. And they're like, and I'm like, I weigh 4 times that kid. I'm thinking my momentum, I don't know. I don't know if there's enough water slide. And I thought, I can't get hurt today, right? But we don't heal as fast. We don't heal as fast as we used to. What in the world are we talking about? Oh, there was a good point. Oh, yeah. God's creation. Thank you. The human body is awesome. You heal good when you're young. Do crazy stuff now because you won't when you're older. God revealed himself. Romans 1, the passage we just read, 18 through 20, talks about God revealing himself through general revelation, through the world, through nature. But we can't really understand all of the attributes of God through nature. We could see that there's a God who exists, but God chose to reveal himself through special revelation, which is what we call scripture. Just natural revelation isn't enough to really know what God is like. We really have to allow him to reveal himself through scripture. So we're going to look at the next few things here. The first one is God is transcendent. That means God is above the world that he created, right? God sits above it, but God is awesome, also at the same time, immanent. He's involved in the world. Christianity is the only real religion that speaks of this, that God is both over creation yet involved in creation, right? If you say that God is over creation and you stick to that, you end up having this idea that God just started the world and he's absent. But the Bible doesn't say that. He isn't just the one who started the world. He's also imminent. He's in the world. In fact, Jesus came in the flesh and walked and lived the life we couldn't live and died on the cross to pay for our sins and rose again. God is also eternal. Eternal. See, I really think God made us in ways that we can realize that there is a God. Think of eternity, right? The Bible says God has set eternity in our hearts. We all have this desire to live forever, don't we? Right? We don't want to age. We don't want to get old. It doesn't matter how old somebody is. When they die, it's a sad thing. Nobody really just wants to go. We want to hang on. And why is that? Why is that the normal thing? Well, because God is eternal. Right? He's never going to stop existing. Adam and Eve, God's creation, they weren't eternal because they're not God, but they had a starting point, but they were supposed to live with him in relationship forever. What happened? They fell into sin, and death was the result. I think that's why deep in our hearts, every culture around the world has this desire to keep going on. We have some religious systems created with just reincarnation or whatever, this idea of we keep going on. Evolution would say we don't keep going on. We're just here, we're dust, we're going to die, don't worry about it. Well, a lot of people have problems with that idea, and I think it's because we're made in God's image, and God isn't going to die. We have this desire to live forever as well, because that's how God made us. We never want to say goodbye to our loved ones, do we? We want to hang on to people and be with them forever. God is eternal. And that's our desire as well. Anybody see the movie, the Tom Hanks movie, where Castaway? Remember that? When he's stuck on an island forever? There's a story of a guy who wasn't as good looking as Tom Hanks. Right? Louis. This guy, Louis, was shipwrecked and he lived alone on a desert island for years. He was finally rescued. People stopped by and they seen him on the island, but before they left, he gave them a tour of the island. And Louis is taking these people around who were going to rescue him and he says, "Look over there. There's a house I built for myself. That was where I lived on the island all these years. And look over here. Before we go, I want to show you my barn. This is where I took care of animals. Over here is the church that I worshiped in. I built a church, and I worshiped there." And the rescuer looked at him and said, "Well, what's that building over there?" And Louis says, "That's the church I used to belong to." Right? Isn't that crazy? Alone on the island, he's the only guy, and he still had to build another church to leave the church he was at. We change, don't we? People are finicky. The next one is this on God. God is immutable. What does that mean? God never changes. Isn't that awesome? We can change. We can like one thing one day, don't want something the next day. We can love Chinese food, and then we don't want Chinese food, right? How many know what you're eating today for lunch, right? You can be excited, and then after you eat it, you're like, right? You want something bad, then you don't want something bad. I used to love that gelati that ShopRite would sell in the little tubs. And then I had it so many times. It was caramel apple, right? I think it was. It was awesome. And then after a bunch of times, I didn't care for it anymore. It's strange, but I thought I would never get tired of it. But that's just how we are. God never changes. Malachi 3:16 says, "I am the Lord. I do not change." Wow. Pretty definitive, right? God's nature doesn't change. He never will. He says, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever," from the book of Hebrews. Another couple of traits. We talk about these ones often. God is omnipotent. That means God is all powerful. He can do anything he wants to do, right? There's nothing that's too hard for God. God is omnipresent. God is everywhere at the same time. It was interesting in my studies this week, somebody added a thought that I never really thought about it with omnipresence of God, that God is everywhere. And a commentator said, that means that nothing can be hidden from him. I thought, that's pretty good. Because God is everywhere. You know, you play hide and go seek as a kid and you can't find your friends, right? You're outside for hours and then come to find out at the end of the day, they all actually went in the house hours ago and you're all alone looking for them. Well, you can't do that to God. God's everywhere. He's in the house. He's behind the tree, right? And God isn't an irrational force. He's not the universe that we worship. But God is so awesome. He's not bound by time and space. You can't hide anything from him, physically or literally, figuratively, whatever. You can't get anything over on God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows everything. God knows everything. Somebody told a story of his uncle who thought he knew everything. He thought, you know, he knew it all. How many know people who know it all? And somebody tells a story of his uncle who got talked into buying 10,000 personalized pens because somebody told him that you're eligible to win. If you buy 10,000 ink pens with your name on them for your business, you're eligible to win a 32-foot yacht. This guy's a born gambler and really just felt lucky. He knew it all and thought, I have a really good chance to win this. And guess what? He won. The man talks about his uncle's prize. The prize came. He got a yacht. It was 12 inches long, plastic. Well, I thought it was a 32-foot yacht. There were 32 little feet glued to the bottom of the yacht. He won a 32-foot yacht. Is that funny? This long, little plastic feet on the bottom. Sometimes when, don't you wish you were omniscient? Don't you wish you knew it all? Sometimes when the deal is so good, it's usually not. Well, God knows, doesn't he? Doesn't he know? In Lancaster, there's a little exhibit where you could stop, you know, tourist trap area. You could pay money and see the man-eating chicken. You ever do that? You put in your money, right? See the man-eating chicken. You put in your quarter. Anybody want to guess what you saw? You saw a picture of a man eating chicken. Right? It just was not what I thought. I remember going to Florida the first time with my wife, and there were signs on the side of the road, real live alligators, 12-foot alligator. Big sign it said. Okay, 12-foot alligator, real live alligator. And it says, real live sharks, 12-foot sharks. 12-foot shark. Huh? We got to stop. Well, they had real live sharks. They were the little ones, you know, you get from, like, Walmart. And the 12-foot shark was plastic. They didn't lie. They had live sharks, and then they had a 12-foot plastic one. And there were two different signs, but you really, you know, they did it on purpose, having you think it was real life. Same thing with alligators. You can get your picture with a big plastic alligator and there's a little baby one and you're thinking there's a 12-foot live one. No matter how hard we try, we can't fool God. God knows everything. God is omniscient. That is awesome though. Why? Because God knows your need and my need before we even have a need. Amen? He knows the answer to every problem we could ever have. You can't fool God. Also, it's interesting. Sometimes we talk about people, talk about repenting of sin and confessing our sins and getting right with God. And you've probably heard people who would say, well, I'm going to go ahead and live my life the way I want to live it. And then I'll just ask for forgiveness later and God will forgive me. Right? So I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And then at the end, I'll just say, God, forgive me. And God has to forgive me. Right? Well, God knows everything. God knows if we're playing games, right? He knows the attitudes of our heart. I think that's a dangerous game to play. God knows everything. Here's a few moral attributes. What is God like morally? God is good. God is truly good. He doesn't set up traps for his creation. Evil is an enemy of both God and creation. God loves his creation. He is completely good. God is holy. God is holy. We speak about the two definitions of holiness, that God is above his creation. He's separate from it. But he's also separated not just from evil and sin as well. God is separated from evil, but he's also separated and set apart for his own calling, his own kingdom. Meaning God isn't just not bad. He's totally good, right? You don't have to worry about impure motives with God. Sometimes people can do things and they're shady and they have their own hidden agendas. God isn't like that. God's completely not bad, and he's completely good. God is righteous. God is completely righteous. And because God is righteous, completely right, God is also just. He is a good judge. It is because of his righteousness and justice that God has also the attributes of anger and wrath. God is completely just. He's the perfect judge. Therefore, God is the one who's able to execute judgment upon people who need it, who disobey him, who rebel against him. But the Bible also says this: God isn't just the God who is holy without sin, righteous, completely right and pure. He's not just just, where he's the perfect judge, but he's also loving. See, if you had just these, somebody could say that God could be a cruel God. The Bible says he's loving. 1 John 4:10, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. It's at the cross of Christ that we see God's wrath and his love come together. God's judgment against sin, but also God's love to redeem come together at the cross. The last one we're looking at here is God is a Trinity. The Bible says God exists in three persons. One God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We can't understand how one God could exist in three persons, but the Bible clearly reveals it as that. In studies this week, reading more about the Trinity, got more confused. Because we're never going to grasp it. Here's why. God is larger than we are. Okay? But we could see God in three persons clearly in Scripture many times, but particularly at the baptism of Jesus. Remember, Jesus is in the water, right? The Holy Spirit is descending as a dove, and God the Father is in heaven speaking, "This is my beloved Son, right, in whom I am well pleased." So we see God, three things, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They work together, though, right? And that one God, three persons. Can't wrap our minds around that one. You can try, but I've heard people use the analogy of like water, right? You have liquid, right? Water, you can liquid, you can drink it, right? Freeze it, make ice, right? Steam, right? Water can exist in three parts. You have an egg, you have a shell, a white, and a yolk. I've heard people kind of use ideas to help us picture God in three parts. All of those fall short. God is larger than we are, but God has revealed himself in a Trinitarian form. As we wrap up today, I want to quickly go over some names of God. And here's why. God has revealed himself to us because he wants to show us how he works in us, right? In a covenant relationship for him. God wants to work in us, and we can know him personally. As we go through this, if you want this list, I can give you a copy of this list to look at later. Okay, not this. This is just art. But in a second, I'm going to click, and we have some scriptures and stuff. You're not going to be able to write all this down. I can give it to you later, and you can do some study this week on it. But I just want to kind of introduce you to a few that may resonate with you today. The first name of God we're looking at, Adonai, which means the Lord, my great God. Listen, God is the master and majestic Lord. He's our total authority. That's the application for that. Isn't it good to know that God is the one in control? Another name for God in the Bible, El. God is more powerful than any false god. You can completely depend on him. God is separate from the world. Now, my Hebrew is awful. like probably yours, Elohe Yisrael. God is separate from all the false gods of the world. Elyon, he is the sovereign God in whom we can put our trust. How many are glad that God is sovereign and you can trust him? Elohim, God is the powerful creator of the universe, right? El Elohim, he is the beginning and the end. He gives strength to the weary, the one who works his purposes throughout the ages. You can just remember, God, when God makes a promise, it will come to pass. El Roy, the God who sees me. Look at this, the application to this name. There are no circumstances in our lives that escape his fatherly awareness and care. God knows us and our troubles. Awesome. Awesome. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. God is the all-sufficient source of all of our blessings. No problem is too big. You can just know today, God, there's no problem that's too big for him. Emmanuel, we speak of this one at Christmas time. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came and walked in the flesh, and he promises to be with us through life. Jehovah or Yahweh, the great I am. God's promises never change. They never change. God is faithful even when we are faithless, right? Jehovah Jireh, God is our provider. How many need to know you're going through stuff and you need to know God will provide? How many of you have seen God provide, right? We've seen God provide. Another name, Jehovah, this is a tough one to pronounce, Jehovah Makadishkim. All right, we're going to do that once. Call that good enough. It says, God sets us apart as a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Look, he cleanses our sin and helps us mature. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? What does that mean? We don't have to do things to get good enough for God. In fact, that's the lie of the enemy that can creep into our lives, whether we've come to Christ or we've been in the faith for a long time, right? Whether we're new with this church thing or we've been a Christian for a long time, we can tend to think that we're made right or we stay right because of us. No, it's completely Jesus. He is the one who cleanses us. And we just confess our sins and we rest in it and we get to love him, right? The devil would like to come and accuse you and tell you you don't deserve the forgiveness of Jesus. What's the truth? The truth is you don't deserve the forgiveness of Jesus, but he gives it away and he cleanses. And when he washes us clean, we're completely clean, right? As soon as he washes us clean, we're in his presence, we're clean. Like we're really clean. We don't have to ask for forgiveness again and again and again. God, forgive me of my sins. And when we pray, God, what's he do? He forgives us. He washes us clean. And we can let go of the guilt and shame. If we truly confess it and mean it, he completely forgives us and it's gone. Your sin is paid for and you move on. That's how God revealed himself. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Look, our battles are his battles of light against darkness and good against evil. God is the one who will fight the battle for us. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. God has provided the final cure for spiritual, emotional, physical and emotional sickness in Jesus Christ. God can heal us. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. God is our healer. God is the one who will take care of you and provide for our needs. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. The Lord is in charge of his mighty army. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. God will bring you peace. He is able to bring you peace. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. The Lord is my companion. God's presence is not just limited in a building. God is much larger than that. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. Says Jesus is the king who would come from David's line, who is the one to impart his righteousness to us. Yah or Jah, the I am. God never changes. God never changes. His promises are true. Listen, you can trust him today. Who is this God we serve? He loves you. He's completely good. He's completely righteous. He is self-revealing. We share from Jeremiah 29, 11 and 13 often. If you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. God wants to work in and through your life. Some of us, we face some obstacles. It's not from God. God doesn't set traps in your life to watch you fall. That's not who God is. God doesn't hold your sins against you. If you've confessed them, they're paid for from the blood of Jesus. If you haven't confessed them, then they're still there. But if you've confessed them, they're gone and they're paid for. God is your provider. No matter how scared you can be in your ability to provide in a broken economy, right? God is your provider. He'll give you the strength. He will help out. God is our healer. Right? Some of you have had a rough week and you need healing. God is your healer. Amen? So we pray. God does heal here. We've seen God heal here. He absolutely always heals. Sometimes it's in heaven. Sometimes it's here. Sometimes God chooses to heal instantly and complete diseases are gone. We've seen it happen. Sometimes God walks with us through the valley for some reason. We don't know why. But God is good. That's the other attribute we can look at. God is just. And God will be with us. So we're going to pray today. And as we pray, I want to encourage you to think about this God. This week, think through some of the attributes that may have jumped out to you. I know that list was crazy fast. There's scriptures you can look at on your own. If you want a copy of that, you can see me afterwards. It'd probably be some good devotional time to think about who God is and how he revealed himself to us. In application, we're going to sing a song of closing, just how awesome God is, and give him praise this morning. If you need prayer, we'll pray for you. If you're going through a difficult time, trust God. Stay plugged into him this week. Listen, there's nothing you face that's too difficult for him. I believe that with all that I have, right? There's nothing that's too hard for him. Some of you are going through some hard stuff. There's nothing too hard. God is able. God will bring you through to the other side.